Hello, I'm Amanda McNulty with Clemson Extension and Making It Grow, which you hear me say all the time on the radio, but those are for little one-minute things. And today we're going to actually have a conversation. This is Making It Grow Extra. And my dear friend and former professor, Dr. John Nelson of the USC A.C. Moore Herbarium is here. John, thanks for coming over to Sumter. And I wanted to ask you, I know how important it is for us to try to learn about different types of cotton seeds and wheat seeds and do all this breeding and everything. But what is the point these days of just studying pure botany as a pure science?
Well, first of all, Amanda, thanks for having me on. It's a great pleasure to be here. As far as your question, I think it's a very important question, and I should be able to answer that question. The question is basically, why is botany important? And I think even at this point, we'd have to like backtrack a little bit and talk about what botany actually is. And so botany comes from an old word which suggests the study of plant life. And of course, now we got to back up a little bit more and just talk about what plants are and why they are so important, and thereby why it's important to have people that study them. So, of course, we wouldn't be here if it weren't for plants.
Well, all the food that's consumed eventually goes back to plants. And I don't know if blue-green algae was considered a plant, but that's where we got our oxygen at one point. And I think plants are still a great source of oxygen for us.
That's right. In fact, we wouldn't have any oxygen to breathe if it weren't for plants, just in a general sense. But we wouldn't have any food either. And then, of course, there are all the other ancillary applications of plant life that are so dear to human beings. The other aspects of botany that are associated are those, for instance, agriculture. And agriculture goes way beyond just plants, obviously. But knowing something about plants is going to make for successful agriculture, obviously.
Well, I know just from the standpoint of a home gardener, we have to know what plants are in the same family because we have to rotate them.
Right.
You know, and, I mean, like, basically, you know, tomatoes and peppers and those things. Yeah. If we didn't know that, then we might not know that we weren't supposed to put those in the same place every year.
So now you've brought up sort of the notion of being able to identify plants, and that's definitely one aspect of botany. And that particular aspect is what we'd call taxonomy.
Oh, okay.
Remember when you were in the class of mine, that was a taxonomy class. And in that class, we were
a taxing taxonomy class, I might add.
But it was so much fun, wasn't it?
Was it was fun. It was wonderful.
Taxonomy is the aspect of botany in which people become interested in the naming and classifying of plants. And, of course, it's we're always doing that. People, human beings, are always classifying things, whether they know it or not, in their day-to-day experience, and at the same time be trying, at least, to identify things. I mean, it would be a difficult thing to be able to go through our day-to-day experience without identifying the things that are around us that are familiar and those that aren't familiar.
And it's for safety, and also we just like to have order in our life, I think.
That's right. We look at the world as a sort of a chaotic system, and being able to come up with names and a classification for the things around us does bring order into it.
The thing I loved most about taking this class, and I know you've got a lot more to say, but I'm going to think back to it, is I don't travel much, and if you take a botany class and you take a walk, your world becomes enormous because you know and see all these things. So instead of just seeing, oh, that's green, it's a tree,
right,
you know things about it and you see all the differences in it because you taught us, and I guess that was the basis of taxonomy, to see differences in plants that are used, I would think, to categorize them. Is that correct in some way?
That's right, and to be able to recognize characteristics that set different groups of plants apart. That is, that characterize different groups. And you bring up a really interesting point. We botanists like to cry a little bit about something that's going on these days. It's called plant blindness. And it means that the human beings are blind to the plants around us. So imagine if you go, for instance, going onto a college campus. Hey, I hang out at a college campus a good deal, even though I'm retired. And I'm just thinking, if I stopped one of these kids on the sidewalk and I said, hey, can you identify five of the trees that we can see from here? I haven't tried this yet, but I don't think I'd get very good results.
But John, it wasn't very long ago that if we didn't know how to identify plants, first of all, it was the source of all of our medicines. I mean, we're talking a couple of thousand years ago, but even a couple of hundred years ago, you had to know which ones could be used for medicinal purposes.
And which ones should be avoided.
Which the fruits of which ones could be eaten.
And which ones could be used for different kinds of utility, which kinds we could make clothing out of, or weapons, or whatever.
Which one would make a good shaft for an arrow? I mean, yeah. Even things like that.
Yeah, and then which ones pleased us aesthetically.
Yes.
So, and of course, that's where gardening came from, a love of beautiful plants. I'd like to flower gardens anyway. That people just can't get over how wonderful plants are. The problem is, though, that a lot of people don't know many plants in our modern world, and it's too bad, I think. Amanda, I wanted to say something about what taxonomists such as myself do, and I've been lucky enough to be able to work in an academic setting that has a collection of plants, and we call it an herbarium. And I know I've talked about this before, and you've also mentioned in the past so many times that I work at a place called the A. Seymour Herbarium, and it is true. Let me just back up and say that an herbarium is a collection of dried and pressed plant specimens. So there's no living plants inside the herbarium. In fact, we don't want anything living inside the herbarium except for the curator and his or her assistants.
No insects particularly.
No insects.
Because just like for plants in our garden, even plants that are dried would be a munchy meal.
That's right. The plant specimens that have been pressed and gotten very dry and very flat still have all of the same compounds that were in them while they were alive. And that includes a lot of carbohydrates and proteins mm-hmm. and lipids that various kinds of insects would really go for. And they can destroy specimens by chewing them up.
You told me that we can't, any peculiarities you might have, we can't blame on this. But you said that it used to be y'all had a lot of mothballs in herbarium, to keep insects away.
This is a definitely a serious matter for herbarium curators, is to be able to come up with a controlled process for making sure that there aren't any insects.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be, sure enough, that herbarium curators would have different kinds of poisons inside the facility, including naphthalene or mm-hmm. even worse, paradichlorobenzene.
Fortunately, we don't have that.
Modern herbaria typically do not do any of that, largely because it's possible to keep the bugs out if you're careful and you don't want to hurt the people that are,
of course not,
are working
yeah.
with the yeah. specimens. Yeah. So we don't have any more of that stuff. What we do with the specimens that come to us from another place, that is, if another herbarium wanted to send us a loan or a gift of specimens,
uh-huh.
we would take that box, they usually come in a box in the mail, and put that box inside a freezer that goes, the one we use goes down to negative 80 degrees
centigrade. Whoa!
That's pretty darn cold.
And, so even the hardiest of insects yeah, or other critters
we haven't really done the yeah. controlled experiment to see. But what I understand is that 3 or 4 days at that temperature, nothing could survive that. So then they're taken out and unpacked and defrosted and allowed to get back up to room temperature. And then we can deal with them however we were intending to. So I was talking about what an herbarium is, and specifically the one where I've been working, the A. Seymour Herbarium. And it was started in 1907 by this fellow, unsurprisingly, A. Seymour. who he was the guy, he was a really nice people person, apparently, because he ended up being the president of USC for two separate occasions. But he was a botanist, and he started a small collection of pressed and dried material. And we still have it, of course, and we've set it aside in a special place.
And how many items are in the herbarium now?
We number, when our specimens are accessioned, we give them a number, and eventually they get digitized and imaged with a barcode, all that kind of modern stuff. So we have almost 130,000 specimens. But we also have some that haven't been worked up. So
it's, really?
You know, probably another 10,000.
Another 10,000?
Yeah. It takes a long time to get these things processed.
Good heavens, John.
And, of course, we're always bringing new stuff in. You know how I like to get out in the woods and forage around for interesting stuff out
My
there.
My word. Another 10,000 to go through. Have they been identified yet?
Not all of them.
So they've got to be identified and then mounted and accessioned and all of that.
Yeah. Yeah, and every one of them has to have a label, a paper label.
Wow. Well, some of them have my name on them because when I was a student with you, one of our requirements was to make a collection, and I guess that's still going on.
It surely is, and speaking of your specimens, I saw some just yesterday that you had collected and your little name was on the label.
Well, I lived in a wonderful part of the world and had friends who let me visit their property.
And I'm so glad that we have them and we're going to keep them forever.
Well, John, I want to thank you for talking to me about this. I think we've got lots of other topics to talk about. So why don't we say farewell for this one and let's get together again soon.
Let's do it, Amanda.